So spiritual gifts, like, you know, they change your life a ton. When you know what it is, when you explore it, right? You know, when you step into it, right? It makes a whole world of difference. I'll give you a five of the primary, like, most common one. There's way more than five, like, spiritual gifts. People can have more than one, but I'll give you five now, and we'll try to get it in this session. If not, we'll do the part two of it, like, you know, a little bit later in the afternoon. But I'm going to go over some of them, and if you think that you're, you know, that's one of your gifts, you can go ahead and just, you know, type it in the chat. Like, hey, I think it's mine, right? So number one is a channel. Channeling is a gift. It's been around since the beginning of time, right? Channeling is a gift. And channeling is where one has the ability to tap into higher information, whether it's energy or actually knowledge, and share it with people. There's a lot of channels in the world. Like, some people channel higher energies and beings, and when you see them, right, they're literally, their voice changes, their eyes are different, their mannerisms change, and they're channeling a energy or higher bit level being, angels, archangels, or, you know, being with wisdom. But it's common. There's channels, and for some people, it's channeling energy. They don't have to talk; it's just energy to the channel. And here's the thing: when it comes to channeling, that's one way of channeling, because that's more of a full channel in my mind, to where your soul takes a back seat. It's still there, but it's the back seat. And energy comes through and uses your body as a vessel to communicate information. But that's what people think channeling is. But there's more than that. There are people that I know that are what I call conscious channels. And they're the ones that walk through life, and their consciousness is present, and a higher power spirit comes through, and all of a sudden you're talking to your friend. Next thing you know, you're saying stuff, and they're like, oh my gosh, that is so profound. And you're like, oh, I don't even know where that came from. I don't even know what I said, right? But it flew through you, and you're like, why is it that when people need advice, they come to me, and I tend to say all the right things? That's a channel. But it's not. But you don't think it's a channel, because when people think of channels, they think of, oh, that person on stage, and their voice gets deep, and all different. And that's one way of channeling. And my family's full of channels. I've worked with channels, right, and all different things I channel. But, like, most of the time, what I just said, you know, 10 minutes ago, that's a conscious channel. My voice doesn't need to change, but I'm coexisting with the energy within me, and I'm able to deliver it, and there's a unison. So there's no right or wrong way. I'm just trying to say that there's more than one way that a gift can unfold. When I go on stage, you can ask my team, I don't have notes. I don't know what I'm going to say at times, and it just flows through, and that's what it is. Right? Put me in front of a camera, like, and when I'm connected, and it's there, right? And I've cultivated that I'm sharing with a message and the channeling. It took me a while to get to the space. It wasn't always this way, but through practice, through elevating your vibration, elevating your frequency, you get here, right? And you're able to do it easier. So channels. Typically, the gift comes from the crown chakra, because when you're channeling, I like to channel with a crown, meaning to say everything, only higher beings that are channeling through me of love and light are allowed. And when you're a channel, right, and this is going to apply to other gifts as well, sometimes people are afraid of channeling because a lot of the gifts, they're vibration-based. So if you're in a high vibration, you're channeling great stuff. If you're in a lower vibration, you're channeling lower vibrational stuff, right? And if you don't know this as a kid, if you don't know this growing up, if you don't know this as an adult, then it's scary, because you're like, holy crap, I don't know what's going on. No one ever has told me about this. I might be crazy. If I told people about this, they're going to put me in a white suit, and that's it, right? We're afraid. No one ever taught us this stuff. It's a lot of misinformation around the gift, right? So what do channels do? Again, and you're going to realize, as I talk about a lot of different gifts, there are some commonalities in the gifts, things that are common with other gifts. Well, what channels have, right, is they start looking for ways to weaken the channel, because it's too intense. No one ever taught you it. right? People, when you do it for the first time, people that are, you know, people that are your friends and loved ones, they're afraid of it. You don't want to freak them out, right? I've seen it happen. So what do you do? Turn it off. How do you turn it off? You know, you numb out. Sugar, alcohol, drugs, escaping it somehow, eating and throwing yourself in super humanistic stuff, because all those things weaken the crown chakra to where it doesn't hit the same. And although you can never fully ignore it, it's just quieter, more manageable, right? So that happens. And channels don't know that's happening, but in my mind, it's like okay, I understand why it happens. I don't judge why it happens. It's happened to a lot of channels. It's happened to me. So I understand the journey of it, right? It's a lack of resources. It's a lack of knowledge, a lack of resources, a lot of awareness to that which you have that's a part of you, but no one ever gives you a handbook when you're born or when you're of reading age and says, here's your spiritual gifts, here's the book, here's how to run with it, this is what's going to happen with life. When this happens, no one does that. So we're like pretty much doing it blind, right? So that's why I have compassion, because this information has never been around in such a public manner to where we can be like, all right, that's how we do it, right? So it's like trying to fly a plane and no one's ever shown you how. There's no instruction manual. You didn't even know, like, you know, what a plane was, and you're being thrown in there and like, let me just kind of move things around, right? That's kind of like how I view it, right? It's why I'm like so passionate about getting this information out there, because I know how much of a lack there is and how much of a catch-up we're trying to do here. You know what I mean? It's we're catching up. And it's fun in a way because we're condensing time, but it's still, we're catching up, right? So there's the channel, that's what happens. And with the channels, typically, what I've seen is if you don't channel, you burn out. You really do. If you don't express that energy, you get sick, affects your health, you get irritated, you know, you blow up, your pins and needles. It's everything's too intense, right? And it's like, you know, it fluctuates. I know it. You want to be alone. You don't want to be around people, so on and so forth, because you don't know if you're around people, you're going to start channeling, you know, things that are messages that want to come through for that person, so on and so forth. So you're like, nope, right? But you got to express it. With channels, it's like, it is there when their channeling is blocked, they experience so much physical issues, mental, emotional, all that stuff, because their gift is not flowing. Right, and they tend to like, okay, let me just work out or dance or move it, and at least move the energy out, and it takes the edge off and stuff like that. But with channels, I've seen that happen. Like that's kind of like the idea behind it. And then another gift is called transmuter. Okay, and with transmuting, it's you're like the filter. You're like a filter, a filtered out negative energy, and you clean it, and you. And you can go the rest of your life not knowing that you're a transmuter, but experiencing everything that comes with transmuting. So what does that mean? That means, like, you could be sitting right next to somebody, and they're feeling crappy. And this can be a complete stranger, okay? Complete stranger. You can do small talk. How's the weather? You like your ice cream? Yeah, I like mine too. Whatever, right? You can do small talk. Or you don't even have to say a thing. Zero. You're just right next to them. For some reason, afterwards, they're like, wow, I feel so much better. And depending on where your vibration is, depending if you've had self-care, depending on what your routines are, you might feel nothing, right? You might feel energized, or for the most of the time, you might feel like crap. Like, wow, I was fine a second ago, now I'm feeling all those different things that I never felt. And, you know, they leave and you're like, what do I do with this, right? And you might be the kind of person that everyone just likes to dump stuff too. And you're around them. You're the friend that like really does that because you just transmute for everybody. And the thing is, if you're in high vibration, you don't feel it. If you're in your humanistic story, you feel every part of it without any context. As to why you're experiencing it. You're just experiencing it, and you're like, wow, it's crazy, right? And the thing with transmuters, okay, is the higher your vibration is, the more you transmute, and the more you don't feel it. The lower your vibration is, the longer you transmute, seemingly, because now you're having transmuted from a lower frequency. At a higher frequency, things get transmuted fast. At a lower frequency, it's slow, and you feel it. So when you're in a lower frequency, you feel everything, right? And the thing about it is you're not just transmuting for one person. Some people can transmute for somebody remotely. Some people can transmute for people around them. When I first met Mandy, we were first dating. There was a time where we were at this high rise in Miami. And after dinner, and I was looking for her because I wanted to chat. And I was like, where is she? I looked outside. And for an hour or two, she had one of her palms facing the city and the other palm facing the ocean. And she was bawling. She didn't know what she was doing. She didn't know why it happened. She just knew it happened often. She didn't know what it was. In my mind, I'm like, all right, this gal is transmuting the entire city's pain right here. But she's not doing it from a higher level. She's doing it from a human level to where everything, all the pain from the city is literally running through her body. So she's feeling deeply the pain she's trying to transmute because she's trying to use her human body as a battery to do all that stuff. Got it. Let me show her, when it's time, when she's ready, how to use, divine spirit and higher level practices so she's supported and it's not running through her body, yet alone, better yet, she doesn't feel it. It just happens, right? And that happens. And that's a transmuter right there. And I met so many people that are transmuters that they don't know what they're doing. They go in the room and they cry. Right, they're feeling the pain of the world, they're feeling the pain of the room, right? And they transmute, and they're better, and the world's better because of trans. If there were no transmuters, the world would have ended a long time ago. Transmuters clear all the excess energy, clear all the pain, balance the energies of the world, and they most of the time they live their entire lives not knowing they're doing this. They're unconscious of it. It's happening, right? And same thing. And with transmuters is it's a clearing of the energy. It's being in the high vibration. All the things that you guys learned yesterday, right? It's just being aware of some days you're going to be transmuting more than others. And those days you do more self care. You become more proactive with it versus waiting. Okay, so that happens. And that's why sometimes people cry for no reason. Is they're transmuting. Somebody's thinking about them. They're thinking about somebody. Or their neighbor might be going through something. Or if they're in a restaurant and they're sitting on a chair, it's whoever sat there whose energy they're connected to when they're sitting, and they're transmuting for that person. Happens. When me and Mandy used to stay in a lot of Airbnbs back in the day, she'd be transmuting for the person who owned the bed. Her dreams would be the dreams that, we didn't know what it was. When we did some research, yep, that person went through that. And she's transmuting it for them. As if it were her own, right? And it might seem like a curse, but I promise you, it's a gift when you know how to use it. Because you walk the world, making the world a better place, and you don't have to feel it. You can be conscious of when it happens, and you become a blessing to life itself. Gifts are blessing when we know how to use it. It can elevate ourselves, it can elevate humanity, but we never are taught the importance and the power of spiritual gifts. And when we're in a low vibration, all we're experiencing are the dark parts of it, the low parts of it, the things that are available in certain vibrations, and we're like, shoot, never mind. I don't want this. Because you're experiencing the 1% that you only experience at low vibrations, but you're not experiencing the beauty of it. Right? There's that. The third one, there's five. I think I'm going to be able to get to three in the morning, okay? And then the fifth one, and then the four and five will go over in the afternoon. By the way, I talk a lot about this in my book, right? Spiritual Activator, all of it, all the gifts, how to tell if you have them, how to clear them, all of them, it's here. And I wrote the book specifically because I know that spiritual, supernatural gifts, I've never heard or I've seen, or at least if this is there, I'm not aware of it, of just spiritual gifts, being a priority in today's teachings and lessons. I've never seen a program or a book on just developing it. And that's why for me, I'm like, okay, this is one of the things I'm going to do. I'm going to make it mainstream because people need to know, right? And having a spiritual gift doesn't make you above or below anybody. It's just what we come here with. It's like our physical senses. We can see, we can touch, we can hear, we can smell, It's just that spiritual gifts, we have them, we just never know how to tap into them, right? But, you know, and when we step into them, yes, like, you know, we are able to do things that seemingly most people can't, and it elevates our lives and others, right? But the best way to really step into spiritual gifts is practicing humility with it. I know, I'm saying this, you know, because I've been down the journey, and I've seen people with spiritual gifts, their ego gets in the way, status gets in the way, and next thing you know, what ends up happening? They lose access to it, or they can't do it as easy or quickly anymore because, you know, their vibration now dropped from doing things for the highest good of all, selfless service, to like, ooh, I want to see how this can make me rich, or this, and it becomes about them. It lowers their vibration. Therefore, the spiritual gift can't be accessed the same way it used to, because spiritual gifts are vibration-based. When you're in a higher vibration, you're able to access more of it for the highest good of all in service to humanity. And when you're in a lower vibration, if it's just for you, then you're limited, or you're experiencing, you know, that gift in lower vibrations, right? It's vibration-based with gifts, and so especially with sacred knowledge. Spiritual gifts, because we stopped at, like, and I talked about channeling, I'm talking about transmuting. And the third one is psychics. Psychics. And psychic is, it's more than what Hollywood says it is. It's more than just a crystal ball, someone looking into your future. It's more than that, right? Psychics can have visions about the future. They can dream about it, right? They can meet somebody and they know if somebody's sick, you know, they might know that. They might see auras. They might see people's like chakras or different, you know, auras. They might see, you know, other worlds, like people who have passed. They can communicate with them, like, you know, through hearing, feeling, seeing, like, you know. They might touch an object and know the history of the object. They may walk into a place and just know everything that happened in there. I mean, there's so many different applications of psychics, right? It's a very broad term. They can, and it can be remote viewing, right? You can be remote viewing. You can be here and see something, some other place that's not here, and you can like describe it in detail. I mean, they have like accounts and accounts of this, and people that are, you know, they have trained and recruited in the government that does remote viewing, and they look at different locations and places, and there's studies around it. I mean, this thing's real. It's not just like we think we hear psychic. We think, oh wow, crystal ball. I walk into there, it's like, you know, or I call 99 cents per minute psychic. No, it's the gift is broad, and the applications of it, like, it's in all cultures, all over the world. And same thing with psychics. It's like, you know, it's all vibration-based. When you are on a high vibration, right, then only the things on the high vibration you experience. And if you're in a low vibration, only the things, you know, in the energetic and spiritual world in the low vibration you actually experience. But the same with psychics and channels is you can set parameters, right? If you have, if all that you've seen in the past is pretty much, you know, the darker or, like, you know, scary things, it's because you don't realize that just because you can tap into the energy world doesn't mean it's free for everybody. Like, it's like somebody calls you, you can hang up. You don't have to answer the door, right? If a telemarketer is trying to sell you something, you don't have to do it. You don't have to open every single email. You don't have to. You're in control. You're in charge. You can say, you know what? I'm a closed channel. I'm not receiving any messages as a psychic. Today, I'm close. If you want to send a message, send it through Dreamform. Or I only want messages from beings of love and light for the highest good of all. Like, you can have a close sign if you wanted to. Or you can say, send it here. Like, you don't have to do something out of obligation or out of fear because you think just because you're tapped into the energy world that somehow you're less important. No, you're in control. You're actually really important. If you have people, if you have spirits from the other, you know, side trying to reach to you, they're trying to reach you, asking a favor from you. It's a favor. It's an ask. It's not a demand. You're in control. You're in charge. You can set parameters, boundaries, respect your energetic space, and that's fine, right? So that's the thing that most people miss is that they're not able to experience their gift and potency because they're afraid and don't realize their power. You don't know how to use it, so on and so forth, right? So that's the psychic. And then we have the fourth one is hands-on healer. Right? And there's some similarities with hands-on healers and transmuters. Typically, transmuters, they transmute energy, where hands-on healers can also do that at times, but mostly their stuff is physical. Like, you know, you love hugs, you love helping people, people like being around you, you like, you know, kind of massaging people if you want to, and not, but being around your energy, people feel better physically. If they have a body pain, they're just like, it just feels good, right? Your hugs, your energy, it's healing. Some emotionally, but mostly physically. And that's a hands-on healer. Like, you want to give the shirt off your back to help somebody else. You got a big heart. Typically, like, the help, and you're the strong one, right? And then whenever you need something, it's hard for you to ask for help because you, in your own environment, in your own space, in your own circle, you're the strong one. You're the one that glues everybody together and helps, and you're the one that makes people feel good. You can never have an off day because there's always something happening and you can't be weak, right? And you give everything and everything until you're like, there's nothing left. And then it affects you. And when you're not healing, when you're not doing these things, you can get sick. A lot of times I met so many people that have autoimmune or chronic stuff and they don't know why. And when they start healing and practicing hands-on healing and the energy flows through them, they're better. That happened so many times here. When I'm doing my, 8-week GeoLove healing energy certification where people like learn my methodology for healing, when I'm doing the clearing and healing on you guys in the next session, right? This what I do, people can actually learn it. And when they learn it, I've seen people here, because we have videotapes of it, of they've been through surgery after surgery. Nobody can tell them, what's going on. They can't get rid of the pain. They do a healing and it's gone. And they're shocked. I'm not shocked. I mean, when I first saw it, I was shocked. Like, but it's happened so many times that I'm not shocked. A lot of times healers need to heal. They need the energy to flow through them to heal, because the same energy you use to heal also sustains you, rejuvenates you, clears you, right? So when you're not running that through your system, your system is deprived of that, right? If it's one of your primary spiritual gifts, it's like oxygen to the soul. And if you're not giving oxygen to the soul, there is side effects of that. And some of them is physical unwellness, right? So that's hands-on healer. So we talked about channel, transmuter, psychic, hands-on healer. And then the fifth one, okay, is Akashic Records. A-K-A-S-H-I-C-R-K? I keep getting confused. Akashic Records. I should know, right? But the team members, you can put it in the chat. When I'm doing these kind of teachings and I'm like super, like, flowing through the channels, like a lot of the times, there's a lot of misspellings, there's a lot of things. I'm just getting the information out. So Akashic Records, the way it works is think of it as you have access to the library of information of everything on earth, past, present, future, so on and so forth. And it's kind of like vibration-based as well, right? To where certain areas you can only access after vibrationally reaching certain levels, right? And if your vibration is low, then you're tapping into seemingly things that are, okay, it's kind of scary or whatever, and so on and so forth. But you just need to have context around it. Because when I look at Akashic Records, right, those are people that crave to know information. You're typically super logical, skeptical. You've been called know-it-all, right? But you just know stuff. You know stuff. And it's very different. I mean, it's not like channeling through you. It's kind of like you're accessing information from a library and you just know stuff, right? So that happens as well. So I'll give you an example. I had one gal that went into one of my workshops earlier on, and she was Akashic Records, and she's like, she's been crying, and she's like, I've been holding this off for the longest time, and I shut it off when I was a kid, and she knew exactly what it was. And I'm like, okay. And the reason, here's why she shut it down. Okay. One is when the Akashic Records was on, like, when she was a kid, she would dream about calamities, and it would happen. She would dream about a fire, and she would see a street sign, all different things, didn't think anything of it. Next thing you know, a few days later, it's in the news. Exact place, exact vision, exact street, sign and everything. And she would see an accident with cars and with the colors and the license plate, didn't think anything of it. Sees it happening, you know, a few days later in real life. So people that have Akashic records, yes, they can tap into the past, present, future, tap into that. But it's not all that. There's more to it than just tapping into seeing accidents and calamities. I mean, there's, yeah, when Akashic records, a part of it is tapping into life and death, right? When my good friend, one of my best friends, Anthony William, medical medium, like, yeah, it's medium, but he's more Akashic as well. Like, you know, he channels in Akashic and medium all combined, where he can meet somebody and know, you know, what sickness they have and know the remedy for it and know things that doctors don't, right? And that's his gift. And he's helped so many people. But you can't, you know, and it's just one of the things that flows. And that's one of the benefits. It's like when you have the Akashic records as your gift, right, then you might have solutions to things that aren't here. If you look at some of the smartest minds in the world, the inventors of our time, you know, people who are so smart and they bring things that aren't here before, you know, before they're even here, they're all tapping into this collective consciousness, right? And I think Einstein, I'm going to butcher this, even he says, like, a lot of the stuff he gets from the collective mind, right? And he talks about it a lot. But all the greats, it attribute to them getting information, tapping to something, and it flows through them. And the thing that they're tapping into is the Akashic records, right? And that is something to where it's a powerful gift. You know, it's like you might have cures, you might have solutions, you might have modalities. When I'm tapping into in Geo Love, when I'm that's one of the courses where I go deeper into spiritual gifts and I activate it in somebody and they remove their blocks and I teach them how to use it. The reason why I can tell what someone's gift is because I'm tapped into Akashic records. I don't know what it is until I tap in, and that second I know, right? But it's that information is stored, you know, on the Akashic level. And the more you work on elevating your vibration and frequency and using it, the more you're able to access and the more you're able to use and tap into higher versions of your gift that you maybe weren't able to in the past. Does that make sense? So these are the five primary gifts that I start everybody with. Everybody typically, you might have more than one if you resonate with one. It's you might have several. But the thing is, typically there's one that at any given time is for some reason the primary focus that you should have for the next 30, 60, 90 days, because by stepping into it, by understanding it, by exploring it, right, by learning how to use it for the highest good in high vibration, it's the key that helps you move forward, right? It's what you need. So that's, for me, spiritual gifts are important. I mean, and again, it all comes together. If you think about it, energy blocks. Then you learn how to, like, you know, protect your energy. Then you learn how to clear your energy, right? And I'm doing an energy clearing in you guys in the next session, right? And then you just have to raise your vibration, which a lot of the experiences that we're going to be having, you know, that we're going to be learning between the body movement later on and the sound healing are meant to release further blocks and meant to elevate your vibration so your vibration's up, right? And then the spiritual gifts typically is the pivotal part of it as well, because as you add it on, it further elevates your vibration. So it all comes together as a system, right? And it's one of the things to where a lot of times when you're using spiritual gifts, it doesn't mean that you're going to have to, like, do it as your purpose work. Some people do, right? That's their purpose work. That's what they're here to do, and their spiritual gift helps them with it. For some, they use it with their everyday life, right? It's the lawyer that can understand their client because they're empathic or they're psychic and they know, right? It's the doctor that is tapped into Akashic records, and when everyone else can't find a solution, just knows what to do. It's one of my friends is a detective that just walks in the crime scene and knows exactly what happened and knows what somebody overdosed on because he can taste it underneath his tongue and know what it is, right? All these unexplained things. Why? I mean, there's gifts that happen unconsciously that we use through life. Kids have spiritual gifts. They're on. Typically, they're on. They're active, and they're there. Right, they happen. They're active, and it's powerful. Right, so a lot of it is like realizing that whether or not, like, you know, just because you have a spiritual gift doesn't mean you're gonna have to use it the way I do, or the way healers do, or the way psychics do. You can use it in your everyday life, you know, as a way to tap into the energetic world, get guidance, use, you know, your strengths, and navigate through life equipped, right? So those are, in a nutshell, those are the spiritual gifts, five of them, and they're you know, and I talk about them a lot in the book as well. But it's those that are, if you know that, then you got to at least be like, all right, this is what I have. And I think it's by now you guys understand the importance of vibration. If all you do is focus on releasing blocks daily and elevating your vibration, right, then your gifts will start unfolding in a way where you're accessing higher and higher levels of it, you know, and beyond, right? And these spiritual gifts, in my experience, okay, everybody that I have met, that have come through my programs, that I've seen, that have gone through this or other programs, they all have gifts. I've seen them. Whether or not they're super active, you know, and they're too active and they don't know how to control them, whether or not they're kind of in the surface, like, you know, on and off at times, but there's no pattern to it, rhyme or reason, whether or not they're seemingly dormant and they need to jump start. I mean, everybody that I've met, it's there. It's just a matter of, a lot of times people go through life without fully ending, utilizing, you know, their gifts, right? And I'm here to change that, because I've seen the power of what it does to someone's life when they understand who they are, when you're operating and stepping into your full potential, not just your limited one, but your full soul potential, right? Where you're tapping into more of the limitless version of you versus the limited, you know, humanistic version of you that's has experienced so much trauma. You're tapping into such a higher version of you where anything is possible. Creation is the language that you have there, and it's endless, unlimited, you know, supply of everything that you need, right? So that's pretty much the as far as spiritual gifts, that's kind of a little bit of my primer on it. Now, the next thing is, let's talk about abundance, okay? Abundance, and I want to kind of sneak a little bit session in here, even though it's not a abundance day. I think abundance is one of the things that come. And when I talk about abundance, I think of abundance in terms of all areas of life. Abundance in your finances, abundance in your relationships, abundance in how you feel, internal wellness, like, you know, you feel clarity, joy, you know, peace, all the amazing emotions, you know, abundance in your well-being as far as physical well-being, abundance in your purpose work, abundance in general as the standard and the norm in your life, right? So abundance to me, it's a frequency more than anything else, right? And if for you guys to join us yesterday, I did an abundance meditation towards the end. If you guys missed it, don't worry, it's replayed. You can watch it. It was yesterday towards the end, right? And then when we do the clearing and healing in the next session with y'all, right, that's the same thing. It's, we're going to remove, you know, a lot of energetic blocks that you guys have, but also bring down a higher level, a more potent level of abundance and healing for you to feel and experience, so you know what it's like. But to me, abundance is a frequency. It's a frequency. You can feel it. It's not something you can think your way through or feel your way through. It's a frequency in where you exist, right? And what I've learned about this frequency, okay, is when you're not in the abundant frequency, you know, because you're trying to manifest things consciously. Trying to manifest it, you want it, you vision board it, right? You write it down, you focus on it, you know, you act as if you already have it. What would it feel? All that stuff, right? And it's, I get it. I get why, you know, that kind of was taught and in some respects worked, right? But what I've learned about manifestation in itself is, once you realize abundance is a frequency, everything changes. Because when you're in that true frequency, things come before you can think about it. And when you think about it, thoughts turn into things extremely quickly. And that's the kind of manifestation that me and my wife Mandy we've lived and practiced, and we shifted mostly over the last several years, is because in that space, when you're there, before you can even have a need, it comes. And it's like Christmas every single day, miracles every single day. Things come before you even need it, preemptively, before you even know you want it. Because the thing is, when you're wanting things to manifest, you're wanting it from a place. And I'm not saying want and desire. I don't mean it as don't do it. I look at things neutral. Everybody's got want and desires. Everyone has human needs. I get it. It's not bad to want money. It's not bad to want success. It's not bad to want love. It's not bad to want more for your life than you already have. It's not bad to wish that you felt better. You know, these are all normal things to have. So when I talk about them, I don't talk about them from a place of, you know, preconceived notion. It's mostly neutrality. And I wanted to clarify that. So when I'm hearing the words, when you're hearing the words, sometimes you hear it and it's linked up to a perception that you have. So I want to clarify my intention when I do, right? But the thing with it is when you hit abundance, right, what ends up happening is you can't be prepared enough for what shows up. Because when right now, when you're thinking like, hey, I want this, I want that, I want that, you're coming from a place and a framework of your current mental and emotional state and reality. And you don't know what you don't know, right? The life that we live right now, heck, the life that we lived 5 years ago, if you told me 10, 20, 30 years ago, I'd be doing what I did 5 years ago, I would have, one, laughed, thought you're crazy, be in disbelief, and be like, oh, okay, what a joke, right? Because that wasn't in my frame of reality. If you told me 5 years ago I'd be living the day what I'm living now, I wouldn't have believed you. And that's the problem with manifesting from your mind and doing mostly everything from there, is you don't know what you don't know. So you manifest what you think is possible. And what you think is possible is 0.00001% of what is possible and waiting for you, right? And a lot of times by doing that, that's just, you just never get to the edge of your potential or what's possible because you didn't know what to ask for. Versus if you're like, okay, God, higher power, universe, whatever you believe in, I am open for anything for the highest good for me to receive that I might not even know that I need. And I'm ready to release the blocks. And you keep it very general and broad and open-ended, it's better. Because now you're open to the possibilities. But when you're in the right vibration, you will have a hard time believing what's happening. And every single day in your life will feel like it can be a movie. Will feel like, wow, this can be a movie. You know, all this. If somebody were a bystander in your life, they'd be like, that is crazy. And they're like, how did that happen? They'll be in awe. They'll be in shock because it's just amazing things, one after the other, coming. And it almost seems like it's too good to be true. And you're going to have to pinch yourself. But it's true. And it's your life. And you're living it. And you're like, okay, how did I get here? Right? So that is what happens when you're in the abundant frequency. Right? Manifestations become automatic. They become easy, right? And it's a process. Like we went over, you know, yesterday, Mandy talked about removing blocks in the mind and the emotions. But once you remove the blocks in your energy, mind, and emotions, you know, and you know the framework, manifestation is this. It's fast. It's consistent. Happens all the time for the big things and the small things. You don't have to worry about it. It's just a way of life. Because you're in a frequency of abundance to where things come, and things come easily, and things come quickly, okay? So when it comes to abundance, here's a few things to remember, right? And I talked about it, okay? One, we talked about it yesterday, intention and decision. They're super important. They're the things that tilt the vibrational scale to your favor. Decisions outweigh your thoughts and emotions and the energy produced by your thoughts and emotions are outweighed by energy from a decision. It does. So if your mind doesn't believe it, your emotions don't believe it, but you still do it, the energy from that really is bigger than your mind and your emotions at that moment, right? And intentions, when you set intentions, you're setting it from your soul self, from your higher self. Therefore, the request is put on a higher level and it happens because it's set at the intention level, right? So now, knowing that, we start thinking about, okay, how are other ways where we can experience abundance? And one of them is environment, right? Right now, you're in an environment that's high vibrational, right? Your environment can affect you more than you know. And if you're someone who's sensitive to your environment, right? So you're like, and I'm curious, how many of y'all right now you feel like you're sensitive to your environment, whether it's workplace, home place, or just like, you know, social media in general, you're just easily affected, okay? So the thing with that, the cool thing about it is I'm the same way too. I am heavily, heavily affected by my environment. Very sensitive in a way. Used to feel like it's a curse. Used to feel like it was the worst thing in the world till I realized, you know what? That's a clue on how I can succeed. My environment. Because the reason why you're affected negatively by your environment, because it's the predominant thing in your life. If you have, you know, a coworker who's negative and you spend 80% of your time with them in a day, and that's all you do as far as environment-wise, and you're not putting structures and conditions in place for a better environment, then that's all you're going to experience. But it would be very different if you had a coworker, you know, but then you're in this event right here, which elevates your environment, and you make friends from the community here, which become your accountability, you know, partners, and you're part of communities, and you are part of an environment that's here to raise you, give you tools, help you. It changes the dynamic, because now your entire life isn't just based around you go home, you go to work, and you're around this 80% of your time with this negative coworker that drains you. It is, you go to work around this person, and then now you have this environment and these resources, and it elevates your vibration. Next thing you know, the ratios change to where now you're in a more predominantly higher state because of your environment. Right? Environment affects you, and I know because it affects me a lot, right? And that's why a lot of what we focused on is building high vibrational communities and environments, because we know the importance of it. We know that, like, you know, I'm an immersion type of person. Like, I remember when I was in college, I studied Spanish for a few semesters, and I'm like, okay, kind of knew a few things here and there, but I learned more when I was in Guatemala for 2 weeks, right, than I did for a few semesters. And that's because in Guatemala, like, you know, the language I wanted to speak, everybody was speaking it. It was the norm. It was the entire environment. If I wanted to order food or know how to get somewhere or communicate, I had to learn to speak the language. But since everybody was speaking it, I could see it, I could hear it, I'm around it. Immersion, and then boom. Through osmosis, I absorbed and learned so quick, right? And that's what happens in spaces like this, is that when you're here, it doesn't matter what your story is, it doesn't matter what your background is, you are, you know, really surrounded by an overwhelming and different vibration than what you're used to. And you're kind of like breathing that in, experiencing that, seeing how it feels, and you're experiencing a different version of reality and a different version of yourself, one that's not, you know, impossible to reach, but shows you the possibility of what you can inevitably stay at for long periods of time and experience, which is a different way of life. Environment can change you, right? That's number one. So environment is super important. Like, and what comes with environment is your focus. What are you focusing on? Because on top of environment, your focus, people don't realize this, your focus is so precious. Because when you're focused on something, your attention is there. Thoughts start going to what you focus on. Emotions start going to what you focus on. Time, which is precious, goes to what you focus on. In combination, all of those, okay, whatever you focus on for a long period of time eventually is what you create and manifest. That's why what people say, when you focus on what you don't want, you get it. Same as when you focus on what you do want. But sometimes it's harder, because when you focus on what you do want, it's great, but then unconsciously you have things that are, you know, as Mandy would say, counter-manifesting, therefore you don't get anywhere fast. One step forward, two steps back. That's why it's important to unblock, right? But focus is important. So so moving forward, I want you guys to think about this beyond just an environment. Next 30, 90 days, next year, like, you know, make friends from here. You know, join groups. be around high vibrational people so that not all of your day is around people that drain you. Now you have an outlet for positivity to where you also get fueled because you probably give so much to others. Guess what? You have to be refueled too. You got to take care of yourself too. It's all part of it, right? So that's important. It's important to remember, right? Now, there's that. And then the focus. So focus for me, when I moved from the Philippines, right? I moved here when I was 18. I didn't know I was moving. My mom, back in the Philippines, I had everything established. You know, finally, after years and years and years of being bullied, feeling like an outcast, feeling like I didn't belong, I finally got my groove. Got into music. I was in a band. I was a guitarist. I had a girlfriend. I had friends. I finally found my groove. Then my mom was like, you know, and my dad's business back then went into serious debt, right? And there was really not a lot of opportunity for us there. So my mom, you know, they were doctors in the Philippines. They took the nursing test and they went to the U.S. They got accepted. And, you know, they were practicing nurses. And back then, nurses were in demand in the U.S. So we came in here for a vacation, but little did I know, there was no going back. I'm stuck here. I'm here. Right. And I was like, for the longest time when I first moved there, I didn't know anybody, and it was a new culture. Right. And I went through a dark time for months. I'm like, wow, I just lost everything. I wasn't able to properly, you know, say goodbye. I'm in a new place. I'm unfamiliar. I have no friends, nothing. Right. And for a long time, I was like, it was a very debilitating environment. And I was like, you know what? Let me focus on something better. So I started picking up books, you know, for self-improvement, watching, listening, reading. Next thing you know, just because I didn't have mentors or an environment of people that were role models, I was like, okay, this book is my mentor. This person I'm listening to and watching, that's my mentor. What I focused on, right? And it helped. And eventually, you know, starting with my focus on that, I manifested the environment to where those people that I would listen, you know, read about, watch. They became part of my circle. But it started with my focus. My focus manifested my environment. And when I had my environment and my focus, the game changed. Because now I have conditions outside of myself that pull me towards the life that I want versus taking me away from it. Because I'm very much affected by my environment more than I even like to admit. Still am. That's why a lot of what you see and you do, you're like, oh, how does Oliver Manny do it? We do everything we teach you till this day. Environment's still important. Our focus is still important. Everything is still important. We have something that's out of line, we'll experience it in the real world. And what I'm sharing with you is important because we use it till this day. Our focus, our environment, right? Those are probably two big things. If you get those two things right, you'll notice a difference. You'll start moving forward. And it's super important, right? And this is one of the things that I taught in the past. Is ask yourself. One way of thinking, okay, that changed everything for me is it's called inevitability thinking, right? I don't think in terms of maybe. I think in terms of 100% yes or 100% no, right? Very black and white in certain areas. Sometimes there's gray, and I've learned to do the gray thing, sure, right? Because times it's needed. But when it comes to abundance, wellness, manifesting, I don't want something that's 60% going to get me there or 75%. In terms of things that where my life, my happiness, my well-being, the well-being of everybody around me is concerned, I want something that's 100% going to get me there. And maybe that's still my logical mind thinking, but that's one of the things, that I've experienced. Try that with surrender. It's a pretty interesting combination, but it happens. So in terms of let's say you want to find love, you want to have abundance, you want to feel well, I encourage you to be all in. I encourage you to be like, all right, I'm all in. I don't know how, I don't know why, but I'm all in and 100% feeling well. I'm all in that I'm going to find love. I'm all in that I am going to have the abundance and freedom that I want. All in. I don't know how, I don't know why. That's where the signs come in. That's when the work comes in. But I'm no longer being like, well, maybe it can happen. No, I'll speak it into certainty. Either it will or it won't. There is no in between. What do you choose? If you say maybe, you're teetering towards that it won't. If you say I will, it will, I'm open, I'm ready, I'm all in, now your energy is focused on one thing. Because here's the thing, you don't realize in this equation, you're the manifester. So if, and this is probably going to be a stretch for some, or for some of you will understand this, if you are the creator of your own reality, which you are, and at higher vibrations, you will understand this truth deeper. Right now, you might think it's bullshit. I get it. I thought that too for a while. But for a second, if you are the creator of your own reality, and your thoughts turn into things when they're aligned, your thoughts, your emotions, when they're aligned in high vibration, they turn into things. And it happens faster when you're in higher vibration and you're aligned. But your thoughts turn into things. And everything around you is responding to your intention. And you knew that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Are you going to be like, well, I think I want to feel better, but I'm not sure. Because what that's going to reflect is, yes, you're going to feel better, but you're not sure. So it's going to reflect a wishy-washy environment. It's kind of like having, you know, the magic lamp, rubbing it, genie comes out, you can make a wish, and you're like, well, I kind of want riches, but I kind of don't. You'll for 100% get nothing, right? And from this, we forget our place as a creator in all of this. And that's why I'm saying if you haven't, if it's new for you, because you're not used to asking for what you want, or you're not used to being confident, and you're not used to surrendering and having faith, even if you don't see things, if you don't see the proof, if you don't have the feedback, even if people aren't believing in you, or even if you're not believing in yourself, you're not used to just being like, all right, I'm leading with faith and surrender, but this is what I intend. The intention comes before the creation. Intention is part of creation. And as a creator of your own reality, you want to have a solid intention, even if your mind doesn't believe it, right? So that's why I'm saying right now, focus on that which you want, right? And a lot of the things, again, even if you don't believe it, the goal is like, as we go on throughout the day, and you do the energy clearing, you do the energy healing, you do the body work later and release further blocks and you do the death sound healing. You might not believe it now, but at the end of the day, you might, because of everything that we've done and crafted for you to have a better experience, right? So what I'm saying is, just while you're playing full out with me here, I'll just go 100%, whatever it is that you want. I don't know what you want. For some, it's like, I want more kids. I want to relocate. I want a better. I want to feel better. I want more abundance. Here's my number. I want to retire. I want to travel. I want this kind of love. You know, I want to fully feel my purpose work. I want to reach the different levels of enlightenment. I want to feel purposeful and fulfilled daily in my life. I want to know that I'm making a difference. I want to leave a legacy. I want to heal and help and elevate my loved ones around me and then the world. I want to solve this problem. Like, whatever it is, let's bring 100% intention to it. Because creation starts with intention. And when you start with 100% intention, the rest, as you'll see, will start unfolding magically. But that's one of the things that if I could change one thing, start with 100% intention, even if you don't believe it. And if you don't know what it is, whenever I don't know the next step, but I want to move forward, for me it is God, higher power, universe. I'm surrendering. My human mind does not know what comes next. I don't know the steps, nor are the steps important. Because I know science will show up and guide me in the most important decisions in my life. But I'm saying this because I'm surrendering. I'm releasing all need for control. I'm ready to release all the blocks. And whatever's for the highest good for me to experience, I am open and I'm ready and I'm on all in. And sometimes it's all it takes. In any area of your life. That's it. I know it sounds so simple. I wish I could complicate it for y'all. But over the years, what I realize are the simplest things are the ones that work. And just because it's simple doesn't mean it's hard to it's easy to execute. Some of the lessons that we learn today aren't the newest lessons. They're same simple lessons, but don't let the simplicity fool you into thinking just because it's simple doesn't work. Because surrender, right? I'll give you a sample. Surrender is a lesson and something that we live over and over and over again, and we continue to do so, and we'll continue to do so. So it's a very big part of our process. Surrender, right? Among other things. But surrender is one of them. It's easy to surrender when you have nothing left to lose. It's easy to surrender when you're rock bottom. Easy. You've got nothing left to lose. It's harder to surrender when you perceive like you have everything. When everything's great, and you've got your needs taken care of, and you learn what it's like to live without, and now you're living with, and you're experiencing, and your life is rich, and you're having surrender, try surrendering there. It's a lot harder. I know, before I was a spiritual activator, I was in the internet marketing business. I had several internet businesses. I was entrepreneurial. It was a golden parachute. I worked for it, of course, put a lot of heart and soul, making millions a year, you know, combined, which we made there. I was good. I had everything except fulfillment. Because it wasn't, you know, fiery passion in my soul where I really felt deeply like I was living what I was placed on this earth to do. I didn't have that. And you can ignore it for a while. But when your head hits the pillow at the end of the night, it's that thing. Once you see, you can't unsee. You can't shake off. It just gets bigger and bigger, and you know it's there, and you can't shove it under the rug and start eating at me. And I didn't want to change anything at all. I was a closet energy healer for as long as I could think of. 10,000 healing sessions here and there with friends, family members, people that would come. For people that knew me, I was a healer, but from everybody else, for the business world, I was an entrepreneur. I was a marketer. I was a deal maker. That was my identity. I didn't want to cross them because I was so afraid. If people knew who I was, would they judge me? Would I lose business? So on and so forth. I was so focused on it. Then I met Mandy. Then we got married. Then she got pregnant. I was helping her in her purpose work behind the scenes. And as she was pregnant, I remember, you know, it dawned on us. Sometimes we learn the biggest lessons when we're having a child coming in. And it dawned on me after helping so many people and seeing them. It doesn't matter if they're in 20s, 30s, 40s, 70s, 80s, 90s. We've helped everybody from all different backgrounds, walks of life, different faiths, different, you know, ages, ranges. And I realized, wow, a good portion of their trauma, a good portion of what cost them pain in their life happened when they were kids. And a lot of them happened because of their parents who didn't know better, were raised different, you know, were not conscious of it, tried their best, but it was just different, right? And I started seeing the patterns of generations of pain, right? To where the parents influence the kids and the kids become the parents and influence the kids and they love their kids, but they didn't know how to express it or it wasn't felt and so on and so forth and all different things. And I'm like, parents are influential to kids. I'm about to bring a new soul into the world. Fresh slate, brand new. I didn't quite do it right with my first son, right? Because in my mind, I had a lot of things I still had to work on. And I had to love myself and be like, it's okay. Everything happens for a reason. The best I can do is learn and love myself despite the past. And that's okay because that's what we can do as humans. love ourselves, know everything happens for divine reasons and timing, and learn the lesson when we're ready to learn the lesson, when it presents itself. So for me, I'm like, wow, I'm now having to choose, right? I was afraid to shine my light fully. But with a kid, with a son, I'm like, I don't want him to be born and having issues of being himself, expressing himself, shining his light. Because when he was born and when he grew up, dad was afraid and dad was still hiding. I didn't want that personally, right? And a lot of times I won't do things if I'm in pain. I can handle a lot. I've been through a lot. I can handle it. But putting a loved one in pain, seeing another human being in suffering, will move me more than if I were in my own pain. That's just how I'm wired, right? That's why when people are in front of me and I'm serving them and I'm doing healings and clearings, I'll go to the ends of the earth. And people that people think it's impossible, I just sit through it and I surrender and I get it done because I have no problem going to darkness to bring the light, right? But I can't put other people in that situation or create it for them or watch people in suffering. So my son motivated me to be like, you know what? Before he was born, as scary as it is, I'm going to close the chapter in my life to where it was safe, made money, I had freedom, I know the landscape, it's easy, but it's not fulfilling. I'm closing that chapter. I'm going to surrender. It's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Walk away from something certain to explore something uncertain, which was my spiritual gifts, doing what I'm doing now. And I'm glad I did. I wouldn't be meeting all of you if I didn't do that. But surrender at that moment was so difficult. Because surrender is easy when you have nothing and hard when you've got perceivably everything. But I had my why, which was my son. And that was my reason why I took that step. I never looked back, and it was the best thing I've ever done. Even though I couldn't have not seen it then, looking back, I'm like, that is such the perfect step. Because I got to do this, which I love, which lifts people up. I can make a difference. And then it works. Right? So a lot of it is realizing just because I'm teaching stuff that's simple, does not mean at any way that it doesn't work. Because simple stuff, depending on your phase in life and what you're experiencing, can be harder to implement when there's seemingly a lot on the line. Right? Does that make sense? But as we're going on through the day, I just want you to remember, like, you're all in on your dreams. You're all in on you, whatever that is. Whether or not you're like, you know what? I'm just going to be more present. I'm just going to love fully. I'm just going to open my heart. I'm going to be open to this. You know, I'm just going to speak my truth. I'm just going to be seen. When somebody gives me a compliment or gives me a gift, I'm going to be all in and receiving. All in doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be the fundamentals, the principles, right? I'm going to be all in being kinder to myself. I'm going to be all in not judging myself. I'm going to be all in self-care. I know all the areas that it's feeding our soul. Let's go all in on us because it's needed. Because we're playing catch-up. Because when you're playing catch-up, you can't just do 10%. In that short period of the time, if you're wanting to do catch-up and you're wanting to do it fast, so we're not spending our entire life catching up, and you just want to get it done in the next few months or this year, then let's go all in on the catch-up. So that moving forward, we're there. We don't have to. We're there. Life begins.